of kid.
All I gotta say is Portland can't say shit.
It's scintillating. It's sensational. It's Seattle Sounders FC Soccer.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Sounders Scuttlebutt. I am your host today, Cameron Collins. Where can you know me from? Well, besides this show, which is the place you should obviously know me from the most, you can also know me from President of Gorilla FC, Sounders Supporter Group, President of the Alliance Council, the fan government of the Seattle Sounders, and a communications director of the Independent Supporters Council. I also have a few other podcasts that are in the works or being reworked at the moment. That'll be first episodes recording next week, but we'll hold off on talking about those until a different time. You might notice I'm here alone right now, and that's because this is an emergency episode. We got a request from our fans, some of our loyal listeners. Shout out to Alex Diaz and other folks who said get something done, and I'm doing it. Just me. Aaron has date night tonight, and unfortunately Nicholas, who was hoping to join, is on daddy duty, and I just, you can probably hear it in my voice a little bit, a little scratchy. It's been a rough week, weather-wise, sick-wise. I've had a cold all week, so I'm just going to get this out here. It gives me a chance to talk to all of you. I miss my radio show on Monday, so a chance to be able to go ahead and just talk about Sounders a little bit. Before we get there, though, scuttlebutt from around Seattle and beyond. The Seattle Mariners just non-tendered four players: JT Chargois, or Chargoy, I don't know if it's actually pronounced the French way, Sam Haggerty, Josh Rojas, and Austin Voth, freeing up $8 million, which doubles the amount of money they were going to have available in the offseason. $16 million. That's enough for three terrible players, one extremely mediocre player, or zero actual players that should be starting on a Major League Baseball team. Good job, Mariners. Good freaking job. This is the kind of stuff we have to deal with here in Seattle, unless you are a Sounders fan, where we've seen that the team is willing to pay when needed, not always, but still finds a way to put together successful teams. And that's something we like to see. Also, shout out to Ichiro, who is... should be a unanimous Hall of Fame bid. If he's not, it's going to be completely insane. He is up for, along with Felix Hernandez, to be in the Hall of Fame. Felix Hernandez should be there. He shall also be unanimous, but his career fell off such a big ledge there. Who knows? I've been thinking a lot about it, and I'm going to talk to Aaron about it, but I think come next year, I'm going to start Mariners Scuttlebutt and do a whole podcast on the Mariners as well. So if you're into the Mariners, stay tuned for that. We'll see what happens along with the like other four podcasts I'll be producing slash maybe hosting slash just putting together by then. So appreciate you all giving us a listen. Is there any other news out there that's going on in the world? We just recorded on Sunday. So there was a cat that was rescued after 5 days stranded in a Washington tree down in Adams County. Pet Rescue said on social media that the short-haired cat had been stranded for 5 days on top of a tree in Othello's Lions Park, plural, braving frigid temperatures, rain, and snow. I thought cats were supposed to be like the smart pets, aren't they? Aren't they the ones that people tend to love? I'm super allergic, so I don't know. But That's what I thought. I guess maybe not. That one went up too high and got stuck there. Has there been any other weird news in the world? Well, oarfish keep washing ashore in California, which is a bad omen under Japanese folklore. according to some folks. So if you haven't seen an oar fish, definitely look them up. Those things are kind of freaky. They usually swim at depths of 300 to 3,000 feet, according to NPR, and are rarely seen on the surface, yet for the third time since August, one has appeared on the beach in Southern California. Man, what are we doing to this world? It's kind of scary. And then in Seattle news, let's see if there's any beautiful Seattle news around for any of you. I already said we had storms. The bomb cyclone hit, and that was kind of insane. I was without power, not for too long. I guess I didn't have power from probably about 9:30 p.m. the night of the storm until 6 a.m., but it was crazy. 75 miles an hour wind. My windows were shaking. I live in a newer townhouse, so that's not something that usually happens. And my parents are still without powder. Yeah, they don't have snow, but they're without power as well. Living up in North Seattle, kind of by Sandpoint Naval Base. So they have no power. My mom has a cold, and they're stuck in the freezing weather, which I don't like. But, you know, I stupidly offered to bring them a heater, which won't help them because they don't have power. So, you know, my dad's 84 and my mom's 75. Let's hope they keep warm and don't get sick. That's what we want, or sicker than my mom currently has with a cold. I didn't give mine to her, although we both think maybe we got it from the Husky game last weekend where it was freezing cold out. And then, of course, I played in the rain the next day for the pub league. So it's too bad that it keeps happening, but playing in the rain is kind of par for the course this time of year, unfortunately. I think that's good for our general news, our general scuttlebutt as we look around. I hope you all survived the bomb cyclone. I hope you have energy, electricity, and aren't just listening to this podcast in your car or something because you don't have it at home. I would feel awful for that. I'm thankful that I have it, although it has been a little cold. I keep falling asleep. In fact, I slept from 3 p.m. yesterday until 9 a.m. today. So it's been a wild ride. Something we didn't talk about last episode because it happened afterwards. But Tata Martino left Miami due to personal reasons. We don't know what's going on there. We'll see what's happening moving forward. According to the Daily Mail, Inter Miami co-owner Jorge Mas makes Lionel Messi claim as he heads into the final year of his MLS contract. And what is that claim? He wants to hire his former Argentine and Barcelona teammate Javier Mascherano as the next head coach at Inter Miami, which would be interesting. And we will see what happens. It's a lot of personalities to manage. I mean, imagine what it's like just managing the Sounders with all the personalities going on. And then you have to do that. So, but while we're here is the emergency episode surrounding two Sounders players who were central to our discussions on the upcoming LAFC match. I'm recording Friday night, 11:22. So this is tomorrow's game. And that is Paul Rothrock and Nuhu Tolo. So they will be affecting the game one way or another. And we are going to talk about it. But before we do that, I want to ask you all, do you like this show? If so, think about subscribing to our Patreon. Go over to patreon.com and look for Sounders Scuttlebutt Podcast and give us a subscription over there. It's $1.74 to join right now. I think I'm going to put another one up for $19.74 if anyone really wants to donate some extra money. And, it'll help us pay our hosting bills and other stuff like that. It's not like it's going to make us money, but it's going to help us keep it as ad-free as possible. And longtime listeners know we've done a few ads over the years, and it's been something that either hasn't been super successful or just was something you could fast forward through. And I can't say there won't be ads ever again, but if we can get people to hop on to the Patreon, then that's a good way to keep us from having to do that. Lots of cool episodes coming up that will be Patreon only. I'll put up short clips. They'll probably be hour-long interviews that will get maybe 15-minute, 10-minute clips for y'all in a shorter version. But I have two lined up to record, waiting on one more, and have some other ideas as well. So definitely go over to Patreon and subscribe to that. So let's get to it. I guess I usually would play the Patreon ad right now. I'm not going to do that because I just did it myself. Let's talk about the big Sounders news. So the news was broken today that Paul Rothrock is injured and is questionable for the match, and that Nuhu Tolo has yet to return from Cameroon and is currently sick. So it's going to be a very, very interesting time. Let's hear what Brian Schmetzer has to say about this, though. Here's the quote from Brian in the latest interview he did pre-match.
This is an opportunity for you guys to, for the team to go down to LA and to make a statement. How are you going to be able to do that, knowing that Nuhu is not with the team at the moment?
Well, making a statement, you know, the statement is just winning the game. However we can. I've got a contingency plan in place in case Nuhu can't play, in case our doctors don't clear him. We've got a contingency plan, and we'll just, you know, go with the training that we've done this week. It's a beautiful day today in sunny Seattle, and the guys are ready. I think they're tired of all the training, actually. I mean, they're tired of us yapping at them, so they're ready for the game.
You spoke of, contingency plans, but earlier in the week you were like, if I get 2 days with everybody, I feel confident. Not having those 2 days, does that diminish the confidence?
No, it doesn't diminish the confidence. It makes things more challenging, Jada. I mean, Paul's going to be a game-time decision. Nuhu's going to be a game-time decision based on what our doctors say. So, yeah, it raises some different challenges. Would have loved to have them both in full training, but that's the way it is. What I would say, the counterpoint to that is, look, Paul knows exactly what he needs to do. He's been doing it since halfway through the year. And Nuhu's been here for, what, 5-6 years? He knows what he needs to do.
So very, very interesting there. Before you get into it, too, also shout out to Jada Evans, whose article, Soccer is Life for Sounders, Albert Rusnak. He's close to the ultimate goal, which was the latest article she has out in the Seattle Times, came out earlier today. Definitely go check that out. It's a talking about his family and, you know, his dad, who is the or was the Slovakian U-20 coach until recently. I believe he was. We talked about him being that before. And Rusnak says, I'm a believer in having a playing identity and sticking to it. It's been 4 times that we've tried that way and not succeeding, so it's a difficult thing. So he's talking about the LAFC match and what it'll be like playing them the 5th time. We'll talk about that. I think that's an important thing that may affect or be affected by the other things that we're going to talk about tonight. So first off, Paul Rothrock. What do we do with Paul Rothrock? You know, he's a game time decision. He's been a lock on the left. And I'm not sure what him not being there means. Now, you could move De La Vega to the left and start Georgie on the right, which I know some of you have been asking for a while, and then still have Jordan Morris up top, or you could put Raul up top and put Jordan on the left and keep everything else the same. Also a question of what do you do with Christian Roldan? Do you start him on the right and have Roldan, Rusnak, and De La Vega across the top there, and then you have JP and Obed as center defensive mids? It's a good question, and I think if I were to choose, I would probably keep Jordan up top, although I've obviously been pretty critical of him up top down the stretch here. I think having Rui Diaz as a super sub to come on when LAFC is a little tired may be a really awesome thing. It may mean that he'll have a little extra space because they're tired, and hopefully we're not losing by that point, and he's able to be in the right place and score a goal. So what a way to send him off if he can score a goal. And, you know, we'd love to win the MLS Cup in his last year here. So Rui Diaz, truly a Sounders legend. That would be sweet. But honestly, don't know. And one of the reasons why may be the other conversation, which is what is going on with Nuhu? Every time he goes away to Cameroon, it seems like something happens. I guess not the last time, but every other time he gets sick while he's there. I think he got COVID one time. He missed his flight another time. Another time he just didn't want to leave. And here we are again, the night before the game, and Nuhu is still not on a flight home, at least wasn't as of the interview that you just heard with Coach Metzer. So it's a difficult question. Hopefully he is currently on a flight and will be arriving, but I don't know how you're not tired. You've been sick. You're on a flight back. You make it back in time for the game, and then you're going to go on that tired. I think that's a difficult proposition anyways. You end up being in the 18. It's put the Sounders in a difficult position. You know, I think all season long, I've said we need to be starting Reed Baker-Whiting. I know I've said that, but I think in this instance, Nuhu, a fresh Nuhu, would have been the choice. And here's why. Nuhu has stayed home. When we played LAFC, as we've seen that our tactics aren't working, as Resnack discussed, Nuhu has gone from someone who kept wanting to push forward to a player that was told to stay back and did. And we know the one thing about Nuhu that he brings, the reason why he's still out there is one-on-one, he's one of the best defenders in the league. He may not always be in the right place. He may clearly aggravate other players on the team. You know, he may push forward at times when he shouldn't, but when he's back, he stays back. He's one-on-one with an offender, when he's a defender, he is really good. You put in Reed Baker-Whiting, he's okay at that, but where he excels is moving with the ball, making passes up the field, and being goal dangerous. He's a fine defender. We've seen him make some mistakes, though, and I think that is lack of minutes, really, that's done that. But in this instance, since it is something that we want to see, because we've seen it be successful in that fifth game in the U.S. Open Cup, which is Nuhu staying back, the right wing, right back, excuse me, whoever it is, staying back, and just having a defense that stays solidly there and isn't pushing forward the same way, which changes how we play up front. And this is why I think who starts at left back is super important, because if you have Reed Baker-Whiting, he's usually better pushing forward. So then are you going to move him, still pushing forward, and you're going to have someone like De La Vega on the left trying to serve the ball to Jordan? Is that the route you're going to go? That's the route that we usually would go. But as Rusnak has said, as we've all seen, that's not what's been successful. It is really difficult to beat a player or beat a team five times in a row. We've been in 1 year, especially. So we've been beaten so many times by LAFC. It's so hard. Yet, here we are with a chance to beat them, surprise them again, like we did back in, 2019? And a chance to make our own path to the MLS Cup and host the MLS Cup. So, I don't know. It's a hard question. Because if you don't have Nuhu back there, you're expecting Reed Baker-Whiting to stay back. Maybe he won't make the mistakes we've seen him make in the past. Maybe he will be more successful if he's staying back because he's not pushing up, making a mistake and having to scramble back. And then one of the teammates is having to come over and help out. I don't know, but because you're missing both players potentially on the left, it creates an issue where you have Georgie, you have Pedro De La Vega, you have questions of Jordan Morris, question with Raul, who you're starting. We know the spine. We know basically where a lot of the players will be, but it could send us back to a different type of game. And what we really need to see the Sounders do is play like Ryan Gauld did for Vancouver against them, because we saw success for Ryan Gauld. They did beat them that second game in the first round. So we definitely want to see a way to get kind of in front of their midfielders and stay behind their defenders and move the ball around. And that's not how we've been playing. We've been playing up the left and right wing. Now, there's been times in the past where we played up the spine. We know how to do it, but we know how to do it with someone like Ozzie. We know how to do it with JP when he was younger. So I would like to see what JP could do. So I think rethinking this entire starting 11, I mean, Fry at the back, obviously, at the goalie. I think right back, you know, I wanted Christian there before. I still think that's our best option, but I don't think you're benching Alex at this point. So you got Alex, Yamar, Reagan. Left back, you're going to have to go with Reed Baker, Whiting, I think. I don't know how you start Nuhu at this point. You know, put Nuhu in the bench, sub him on if you need to. But I think you have to start Reed Baker, Whiting, who's going to be fresh and not tired and hasn't just flown across the world. On the right side, I think you start Christian. You put Rusnak at the 10, and you put Pedro on the left, and you put Jordan up top. And then I think you have a pretty quick trigger on that left side where we could shift everything around. We could sub people out early if we need to. The fourth loss against them, we knew how to win. Brian Spencer said, this is what we need to do. And then we didn't execute it. I think both Alex and Christian made mistakes. When Bongo was running at them, goals were scored, dangerous play happened, and then we were done. So the key is to get ahead and not let them score. So the way to do that, solid defense, moving the ball up the field, and then hitting our chances when we can, something that we haven't seen from Jordan up top. I think the minutes just haven't been there from Raul for us to see him start at this point. And so I think that's probably what they do. I think they put Jordan up top, have Pedro on the left with Rusnak in the center, Christian on the right. You have your center defensive mids of Obed and JP, and then RBW, Reagan, Yamar, and Alex across the back. And Reagan, of course, got third out of three for a defender of the year. But I think that's kind of tough because a lot of people thought, although Reagan was up for it, that it should have been Yamar. And that maybe Reagan was up for it because he's scoring goals, whereas Yamar hasn't done that and stayed back more. And so around the league, they look at goal scoring, you know, maybe from the pundit side, but the players are looking actual defensive side. Although based on the numbers, Reagan did do a little better with the players than the pundits. So maybe not. Maybe it's the other way around. But that's how I think traditionally it goes. So the question becomes, is this it for Nuhu? Is this terminus? Is this the end of the line for the Nuhu choo-choo? We've seen that he needs some sort of mentorship or something to keep him in line, to keep him doing what's right and doesn't feel selfish, you know, especially coming back. And I don't know how, especially if we lose this match, how you can trust him moving forward. I think we obviously don't know what's going on behind the scenes, but I think this may be a time to think about moving on, especially if we're going to continue to play Schmetzer ball, which I don't think Nuhu fits in. We've talked about it all season long where he, and I talked about it earlier this episode, where if pushing forward, he's not it. And we need to get younger. And Nuhu's making a lot of money. I think we talked about it that last episode, right? When we broke down the contracts. Shout out to Brandon for mentioning that over on the Sounders fan Facebook. But Nuhu makes a lot of money, and you could probably bring in some pretty good players to have an impact with that money, especially if you think Reed can play on the left long term. You could definitely bring in maybe a right back or use some of that money to pay down someone if we have TAM money and to pay the contract of that player, to pay their actual wages, I should say. So looking at Nuhu, looking at his contract as I move down here, his contract is over at the end of the next year. So he still has 1 year left on his contract, and the way it counts against the cap this year is, let's see, he's making $550,000 gross. And it looks like it's going to be the same next year because his gross remaining is going into the season was $1.1 million. So he's not going to be getting a raise, but freeing up $550,000, especially depending on what they do with Nathan, and Leo Chu, even though he only counts 150 against the cap. We've talked about that a lot. I mean, you're freeing up, you know, over $1.5 million there, $1.6 million on those three players alone. And so is that, and since we have replacements for all of them, maybe not Nathan, we don't have depth at center back, but you could bring in another Jonathan Bell type player who's making only $100,000, gives you a lot of money to sign a player of Roldan Morris level, I mean, even Pedro de la Vega is not making that much. João Paulo is. So essentially, based on money, if you are letting João Paulo go plus those guys, you have enough money to pay an entire DP just from that alone, without even thinking about Raul opening up, so who is below that as well. So you could... Will they do it? Come on, guys. We know they won't. But that frees up $5 million, essentially. 1.5, 1.5, and 2. What's that? That's 5. So you have $5 million to play around with for a new DP or young DP, plus, you know, the some contracts will be going up, I am sure. What do you think? Do you want Nuhu back after this? Is this just, you know, the latest mistake that we're seeing that is hurting the team because you don't have the person you expect to be starting at left back against one of the best teams in the league? Or is this just an innocent mistake where he actually got sick and he could be doing something different? As someone who is immunocompromised and does my best to not, I don't know if he has COVID this time, but he got it another time, to not get COVID, to protect myself. I would assume that you would want to protect yourself in those situations, but clearly that's not necessarily the case for some of these folks. And I mean, I guess I can say Nuhu is a young man. He's not young compared to some people, I suppose. And he's been around forever, but 27 years old. Now, my older age in my 40s, I think, is pretty young. There was a time where I was 27, thought I knew everything. But I don't know. For me, obviously, I've not been on the Nuhu train this year. And I feel like the amount of money he's getting paid, you could bring in a player that maybe doesn't have as high of a ceiling, but could definitely give you a more consistent play. You could upgrade at left mid. You know, I love Rothrock. We talked about it last episode, though. Him missing does hurt the team, but that is a position you could upgrade. That is a position that you could bring in a TAM-level starter or a DP-level starter and have a huge impact. I mean, can you imagine having Rusnak, De La Vega, and another DP across that midfield and what that could do if we had a forward who could score? And of course, Jordan did score this year. Just early on, it seems like it has not been the case lately. Hopefully that changes. But it's a tough proposition. I think it maybe, for me, depends on what happens. If we win this, maybe it didn't have as big of an impact. It's next guy up. It's a chance for success for other players. And we've heard time and time again that this is the closest team that the Sounders have ever had. So for them, this is probably like, all right, well, whoever goes in there is going to play on both those positions, is playing for the team, for each other. Makes me wonder if Nuhu does that, though, with this happening again. So that's my ultimate takeaway here, is this is another sign that it's time to move on from Nuhu. He's given a lot to this team. He will always be a Sounders legend. But if you can't rely on a player like this in a semifinal, what are we doing here, right? Like, it's great that he got called up, but maybe the Sounders need to start thinking about not letting him go. And if he doesn't like that, find a new team. Because clearly he can't do it on his own. It's just not happening. So what does this change? I don't think it changes the game plan, because they're going to insert someone in there with different skills, but they'll expect them to do the same. And to me, I tweeted about this. I was on the Battered MLS podcast, and we were talking about what's going on. And one of the social media people out there in the world who is a fan of LAFC and appears on LAFC podcasts in Spanish said that the Sounders were going to be beaten badly. 3-0. That seems hard to me. It's hard to believe because of how good our defense is. That being said, I picked it to go to penalties without a goal for us, and we win in penalties. I could see, though, if we go down 1-0 and we start pushing, it's real easy to go down 2-0 or 3-0. I don't think early on that would happen. I think it would be more like late, like 85th, 90-minute goals that make that happen because we're out of time. But I just can't imagine us just getting blown out now that we've seen, A, we can have success against them. Maybe we can't score, but we can have defensive success against them, midfield and defensive success. And B, we've seen Vancouver, who ultimately lost, but have success, and we know how to exploit some of their players. That being said, I think this hurts the team. I wish I could be more positive. I'm a Seattle sports fan, though, at heart. And so because of that, I'm going to say, I hate saying this, I think we lose 1-0 now. I think or maybe Kai Kamara score. I hate it. I hope the Sounders go out tomorrow and prove me wrong. What do you think? Tweet us at SSFC Sounders Scuttlebutt. Tweet me at Legal Minded Punk. You can tweet Nicholas at Nikita Banana and Aaron at Aaron Lingley. And we will be back for a full episode next week after the results of this match. And hopefully it will be a joyful one as we move on to the Western Conference Finals, hopefully placing Minnesota. So we will see. And that's not because we're scared of LA Galaxy. It's because Minnesota is pretty badass right now, and how fun would it be? We've talked a lot about the relationship between the Sounders and Minnesota in the past. They had to come to Seattle in 2020, and we had that amazing run where Gustav scored the late goal to win it for us. And I think we just need to keep that alive. I mean, I think Minnesota will be one of the better teams in MLS next year, and this is a good chance for us to beat them again. As they say over on the Pod on You Loons podcast, we are Minnesota's daddy, and we're going to keep it that way. So yeah, give us a tweet, follow us on Instagram, and subscribe to our Patreon, and we will see everybody next time. Take it away, James.
You can follow the Sounders Scuttlebutt podcast on Twitter at SSFC Scuttlebutt. And for all inquiries, including questions for the gents or sponsorship opportunities, please email contact@scuttlebuttproductions.com. Be sure to subscribe to the show for new episodes following every Sounders FC match. And don't forget to share your feedback by rating and reviewing. And you can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at BritVoxus. That's BritVoxUS. We'll see you at Lumen, and go Sounders.
Alexa, who's the best MLS team of all time?
The Seattle Sounders are both unequivocally and irrefutably the best MLS team of all time.